Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to a new deep dive segment. This is AI Unraveled, created and produced by senior engineer Etienne Newman.
Great to be here.
And hey, if you want to stay ahead in this crazy fast world of AI, make sure you like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You won't miss a thing.
Definitely worth doing.
So today we're plunging into, well, a really interesting digest of AI news. It's from July 28, 2025, called AI's Daily Chronicle, Innovations and Headlines. Think of it like a quick snapshot, right? Where AI is heading. We're talking brain-computer interfaces, global policy stuff, and yeah, some pretty important warnings about your digital privacy.
It covers a lot of ground.
It really does. Yeah. Our mission here, pull out the key bits of info, connect some dots maybe, and help you figure out what all this activity actually means for AI's future and, well, for you.
And what's fascinating, I think, is seeing not just the big leaps, but also those subtle shifts. You know, the legal changes, the geopolitical moves happening behind the scenes.
Exactly. It's this whole mix of progress and potential problems. A really rich tapestry, like you said, that we need to look at closely.
For sure.
All right. Let's start with something that honestly hits incredibly close to home. It's about your privacy, specifically with ChatGPT. Sam Altman gave a pretty stark warning.
Yeah, I saw that. He highlighted that those chats you have, they don't have the same confidentiality protection as, say, talking to your lawyer or doctor.
Right. And Altman really drove this home saying people share, I mean, the most personal stuff. He mentioned young people, especially using it like a therapist, a life coach.
Asking about relationship issues, life advice.
Exactly. What should I do kind of thing.
Wow.
And here's where it gets, well, really concerning. There's a new court order came out of that New York Times lawsuit against OpenAI.
Oh, right. I remember hearing about that lawsuit.
Well, now OpenAI has to keep all ChatGPT user logs indefinitely.
Indefinitely. Wow. Even stuff people deleted.
Even deleted chats. Yeah. And even the temporary chat mode stuff. This hits users of Free, Plus, Pro, and Teams.
So basically everyone using the standard versions.
Pretty much. Think about, you talk about maybe mental health struggles, personal crises. And those private chats could potentially be subpoenaed.
And things like a divorce case.
Yeah.
Or maybe an employment dispute.
Ooh, yeah. It opens up a real vulnerability for your most private thoughts shared with an AI.
It really forces us to ask, how do we even navigate this? Mm. The lines between private and public online are just so blurry now.
They really are.
And our AI interactions, no matter how personal they feel, they just don't have those legal shields we expect with human professionals. It's a gap.
A big one.
And what's really striking is this kind of two-tier privacy system that's emerging.
Ah, you mean the enterprise and Edo users.
Exactly. They're not affected by this court order, apparently. So businesses, schools, they get a different level of privacy than, you know, regular folks.
Hmm.
So the bottom line is, until there's some kind of AI privilege, like a legal right to privacy, similar to attorney-client privilege.
Which seems a long way off.
Probably. Until then, you really have to treat your AI conversations almost like public statements. Think before you type.
That's a really sobering thought. It's not just a legal thing. It's like, ethically, the tech is way ahead of the rules.
Precisely. The ethics need to catch up fast.
Absolutely. And speaking of catching up and getting ahead in AI, if you're looking to boost your career, maybe get certified, Etienne Newman's resources are top-notch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's got AI certification prep ebooks, audiobooks, covering Azure AI Engineer, Google Cloud Generative AI Leader, AWS AI Practitioner, Azure Fundamentals, Google Machine Learning, the works.
Wow, comprehensive.
Totally. You can find them at djamgatetech.com or on Shopify. We always put the links in the show notes, so check those out.
I don't know.
Okay, so let's pivot now. From privacy worries to something genuinely mind-bending. A huge breakthrough showing AI's potential for, well, profound human impact.
All right, I'm intrigued.
This comes from Neuralink, demonstrating the incredible power of brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs.
Neuralink.
Right. They achieved something truly remarkable. A woman, Audrey Cruz, paralyzed for 20 years. 20 years.
Wow.
She can now control a computer just using her thoughts. She received a Neuralink implant.
Just by thinking. That's incredible. What can she do?
play games, even write her name, all through thought control.
That's not just tech wizardry, is it? That's life-changing, a fundamental shift in how humans can interact with technology.
Totally.
So the tech, it's the N1 implant, right? A tiny chip in the skull threads into the brain's motor cortex.
Yeah, that's the one.
And it picks up the electrical signals when she thinks about moving, sends them wirelessly to a computer.
Where algorithms translate them into commands, direct digital control via thought.
The potential here, especially for accessibility, for restoring capabilities, it's just immense. We're really pushing the boundaries of human-computer symbiosis.
It really feels like science fiction becoming reality.
It does.
But, you know, while things like Neuralink grab headlines, AI is also changing our daily digital lives in quieter but still really significant ways.
More accessible stuff, you mean?
Exactly. Like Microsoft's Copilot. It's getting a new feature, a customizable digital look that actually adapts and, like, ages with you over time.
Ages with you. Interesting. Trying to build more of a long-term relationship, maybe?
Seems like it. Making it feel more personal, like a companion. And then look at OpenTable.
The reservation site.
Yeah, they just launched an AI-powered concierge. It's built right into restaurant profiles.
Okay. What does it do?
It can answer apparently up to 80% of diner questions automatically. Things like parking, menu specifics, dress code.
Ah, so it streamlines things. Less waiting on hold for simple questions.
Exactly. Making the whole dining out process smoother.
You know, what's interesting about both those examples, Copilot and OpenTable, is how they show AI becoming less like a separate tool and more integrated.
Yeah, blended in.
Right. Personalized, intuitive. Mm. It's about embedding AI into our routines to make things more familiar, more efficient.
Like an assistant that learns you, or one that just knows the answer you need.
Yeah. It makes AI feel more seamless, less like this external thing we have to consciously use, and more just part of the background, helping out, building that familiarity, that convenience.
Which is probably how it'll become truly ubiquitous.
I think so.
Okay, so we've got personal privacy, incredible medical tech, everyday convenience. But AI is also a massive player on the global stage. Let's shift gears to geopolitics.
Right. The international angle. Always complex.
Definitely. So there's this intricate dance happening between innovation and, well, international relations. The U.S. government reportedly hit pause on some tech export curbs aimed at China.
Ah, to help the trade talks, right? I heard about that push internally.
Exactly. And following that, NVIDIA announced they'll resume selling their H20 AI GPU to China.
The H20, that's a big one for AI inference, wasn't it? One of the ones previously blocked.
Yep, a key piece of hardware. But, and this is crucial, there's pushback. Over 20 former U.S. officials wrote a letter.
Urging Trump to reverse course, right? Mm. Saying it risks the U.S. edge in AI, economically and militarily.
Precisely. So you've got this real tension.
It really highlights the dilemma, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Economic diplomacy versus national security, especially with tech as critical as AI GPUs.
For sure.
This isn't just about selling chips. It's about who controls the foundational infrastructure for the next wave of AI. It's a debate over whether the goal is purely to win the AI race or to kind of set the rules for everyone else.
That's a really sharp way to put it, defining the terms of the race.
It's a high-stakes balancing act, for sure.
And speaking of different approaches, China just unveiled its own AI action plan. This was at the World Artificial Intelligence Conference.
Okay, so what's their angle?
It's quite different. They're proposing an international cooperation body, emphasizing open source development.
Open source. Interesting.
Yeah, calling for joint R&D, open data sharing, cross-border infrastructure, AI literacy training, especially helping developing nations.
So more collaborative, less protectionist on the surface.
Seems that way. Premier Li Qing actually warned against AI becoming an exclusive game for just a few countries or companies. He explicitly suggested a global AI cooperation body.
That's a direct contrast to the recent U.S. AI plan, which talks more about deregulation, growth, and, well, that race to achieve global dominance.
Right. China seems to be positioning itself as an alternative leader, maybe, by appealing to developing countries with this more open, collaborative approach. They stress balancing innovation with security, working through the UN on global risk frameworks.
It's fascinating. We're really seeing two distinct philosophies emerge on how AI should be developed and governed globally.
Definitely.
This could lead to, well, maybe parallel AI ecosystems, different alliances, different standards, depending on which vision gains more international traction. Could get complicated.
Could get very complicated indeed. The whole global AI picture is definitely one to watch.
Absolutely.
Now, before we get to the absolute cutting edge of AI innovation, just a quick note for any AI innovators or tech leaders listening. If you're looking to boost your visibility, share your work, and connect with a really engaged audience, professionals, researchers, decision makers in AI.
The kind of people who listen to this deep dive.
Exactly. Consider becoming a sponsored guest right here on AI Unraveled. You get a dedicated segment to share your insights, your projects, your vision for AI.
Sounds like a great opportunity for thought leadership.
It really is. You can learn more about the partnership, the benefits, and apply over at dgembacktech.com/AI-unraveled. As always, link is in the show notes.
Good stuff.
Okay, so finally, let's look at just the raw innovation. What's pushing the limits of what AI can do?
The really cool stuff.
Yeah. First off, Mark Zuckerberg made a big announcement. Shengjia Zhao is going to lead Meta Superintelligence Labs.
Shengjia Zhao, wasn't he at OpenAI? Co-author on the original ChatGPT paper, worked on GPT-4.
That's the one. Helped create GPT-4.01. He's reporting directly to Zuck. It signals Meta is getting very serious about frontier AI research.
Wow, poaching top talent like that is definitely a major statement of intent, focusing on that advanced reasoning capability.
For sure. And then back at that World AI conference in China, robotics were huge.
Oh, yeah. What were they showing off?
Dozens of humanoid robots doing things like serving craft beer, playing mahjong, stacking shelves. Even boxing.
Boxing. Seriously.
Yep. Unitree showed its G1 Android, about 130 centimeters tall, doing kicks and shadow boxing. And they announced a full-size humanoid, the R1, coming in under $6,000.
Under $6,000. That's incredibly cheap for a full-size humanoid.
Right. And there were also separate dog-like robots doing backflips, just showing incredible agility and dynamic movement.
So we're seeing this push on both fronts. The core AI models getting smarter with people like Zhao at Meta, and the physical robots getting way more capable and affordable.
Exactly.
The robotics part is key. Mm-hmm. It's not just about AI thinking. It's about AI doing things in the real world.
Yeah.
Logistics, maybe elder care.
Yeah.
That low price point makes widespread use seem much closer.
It really does. And one last quick hit on the innovation front. This one's for the creative types. Runway.
Yeah, the AI video company.
They just unveiled something called LF. It's described as an in-context video model.
In-context, what does that mean?
It means it edits and transforms existing video footage based on text prompts, so you can give it a video clip and tell it what to change.
Like what kind of changes?
Generate new camera angles from just one shot, apply different visual styles, add or remove things in the scene, relight it, even generate the next logical shot in a sequence.
Whoa, that sounds like a massive leap for AI in video editing and post-production. More control, less random generation.
Exactly. Runway talks about giving complete control, moving way beyond the older, more unpredictable models. And given Runway already works with Hollywood.
This could be the tech that really brings generative AI properly into filmmaking.
Could very well be. It looks incredibly powerful.
Lots happening on all fronts then.
Seriously. So let's try and wrap our heads around this. What does it all mean? We've gone from your private chats with AI maybe not being so private.
Yeah, that lack of legal protection.
To these huge geopolitical plays shaping AI's future globally, and then these mind-blowing advances in BCIs, everyday AI tools, the super smart robots.
It's clear AI isn't just a set of tools anymore, is it? It's this force evolving so fast, touching pretty much every part of our lives.
From how we talk to machines to how countries project power.
Which brings up a really important question, I think. As AI digs deeper into our lives, personally and collectively, how do we adapt?
Adapt to the capabilities, you mean?
Not just the capabilities, but also the new ethical problems, the strategic thinking it demands from us as individuals and societies.
Right.
What new skills, what kind of critical thinking do we need to really thrive in a world that's going to be increasingly shaped by these intelligent machines? And what are the impacts we haven't even thought of yet?
A lot to think about, indeed, as always. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the latest in AI.
Thanks for having me.
We really hope you feel a bit more informed, maybe a little more curious too, about just how fast things are moving and the huge questions it all raises. Until next time, keep exploring.